Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS. Why is that, Patty?
Because it is the acronym for the Michael and Patty Show.
Very good, where we put the real in real estate.
Nice.
Thought that up myself. The trademark it. Prince Edward Island's best resource for Prince Edward Island real estate and everything PEI. And not only PEI real estate, but any real estate for that matter in North America. It's basically the same stuff with minor alterations in the laws, bylaws, and the forms. Otherwise, it's all the same. And if you're here to learn about real estate, particularly about PEI, you're in the right place. Patty and I offer over four decades of combined experience here on the island, or as they pronounce it, how?
Oiland.
On the Oiland. And we have the advantage that we have gone through thousands of transactions. We just haven't been sitting around. We've been busy. And topic number one, we're just going to jump right into it here. In addition to our weekly newsletters, which if you're not a subscriber, you should be, because there's a lot of good stuff going on there. I think there was five that went out my newsletter this week and probably had zero in the last month, but lots of new listings coming up. And be sure to visit our YouTube channels and subscribe to that. It's always a good source of information and new listings sometimes before they hit MLS. Twitter feeds, Instagram threads, LinkedIn, and the most valuable resource of all of them is if you go to michaelshomes.com, click on the links button at the top. There is a very long list of Prince Edward Island real estate PEI-centric links, and particularly two things, mapping and the ability to set up a real-time search. Now, we've talked about that before. I was talking to a gentleman a couple days ago that says he's been checking realtor.ca pretty well all day long, every day. He's dealing with an agent that has a full-time job, working part-time, doesn't call him back for 3 days. And I said, why don't you just get a search set up? Maybe you can just briefly explain why everyone should have a search set up. And no, you're not going to get hounded and called and texted and emailed by us. We don't even see these listings going out. But they are probably the best thing you could ever do in any market if you're looking for real estate.
Yeah. So what we refer to as setting up a custom search is called a custom collaboration, a site search. So where you, based on your criteria and what you're looking for, an area on the PEI on the island, or if you're just looking tip to tip and it's more so a specific type of property versus location that you're looking for, a custom collaboration site is something that your real estate agent would be able to set up for you so that you receive in real time properties that meet your criteria and needs versus trying to represent yourself, waiting until the properties come onto the market. Our number one advice that I think Michael would say the same to look at would be realtor.ca. Because within a couple hours of that going live on the system, which again, those set up with a custom collaboration would get it in the same real time that us as agents would. But within a couple hours on realtor.ca, you'll be able to see those exact same properties. If you're looking at a third party site, company websites, other platforms and that like that, it may take up to 3 days or so for you to be able to see these brand new listings. Highly recommend and suggest that you set up a custom collaboration search with one agent and make sure that agent is working for you and you don't miss out on any opportunities.
So you can check out that links menu item on michaelshomes.com. Basically, all we need is the area you're looking in, price, if it's waterfront or not, what type of property, you're looking for, house, cottage, land, commercial, whatever. We'll get that set up for you, and you will know about these properties before anybody else. Because like I explained to this gentleman a couple of days before, and you've seen this, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've been involved in it where a property will come up at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and Patty and I are already writing an offer for somebody else or ourselves by 9 o'clock.
Sure. Yeah.
You've missed out on that. And when Patty said these listings may show up on the company websites in 2 or 3 years, that's generous. They sometimes don't show up there ever. Moving along. We're going to get into our first topic, which you seem to be very excited about, is we have a new Facebook group in addition to the other two that were already set up, and I'll cover those after. Tell us about the new Facebook group and how this is going to be super helpful to people listening that are considering moving to Prince Edward Island.
Well,
and nowhere else. Don't consider anywhere else. There's nothing else on the list.
No, so what we decided, and we have been kind of back and forth on other ways to connect and reach, you know, our communities as well as educate people across Canada. And we ended up coming up with setting up our Michael and Patty Show, MAPS, Facebook group. It is a private group. It is a group that you'll just have to send a request to be invited to. Why should you send an invite request to be part of this community? Well, what we'll be doing is featuring our podcast episodes. It's just going to be a summary snapshot of what you can expect so that if you are looking for something more specific, you can either go through whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on, or you can be part of our Facebook community group that will give you a little bit of a snapshot. Plus, it'll feature the links, highlights that we've discussed during our episodes that we have aired. It's going right back. We're starting at episode one, getting everything caught up. 3 days a week, you're going to see that there's going to be podcast summaries and links featured, plus other content, and hopefully a sense of community where people will be able to support one another, ask questions, hopefully get a little bit of advice. It's not always just from us, other people with real experiences, real questions, and hopefully just a really valuable group.
Hopefully it will turn into something where you actually have people that may have moved here hypothetically from places like British Columbia, Ontario, Montreal, Quebec, the States, wherever. We've had people move here from the Middle East, Switzerland, Europe, that can converse and discuss their positive experiences living on the island, because we know there's not going to be any negatives.
Well, and negatives as well, because there are some challenges.
There's no challenges.
Well, there are some challenges that people experience and face. And it's, again, it's not about us soliciting ourselves from our real estate, you know, professional business. It really is just a platform to take this podcast to another level or to a different platform so that there is that sense of community.
So click on the link in the description or search for Moving to Prince Edward Island, and do not confuse it with the 100 other Moving to Prince Edward Island Facebook groups.
Correct.
Moving along, we had a conversation here within the last week with a transaction they've tried to put together for the last few months. And basically what the story is a house was listed in the spring. You know, there's still snow on the ground. The market wasn't particularly active. And they had an offer come in subject to another house selling. Right away, what I thought is, and I said this to Patty, I said, this is a really, really bad idea accepting this offer. I said, we're in the middle of May. Things are going to start to pick up any day here. They're going to go crazy. And we're going to be locked into an offer that was subject to selling a house in another province. So the topic we're discussing here now is the cycle of real estate and how that plays into an offer. Because what I was thinking is, if this offer came in mid-November, December, where everyone seems to be 100% focused on Christmas, at least in Prince Edward Island, or January, where it's cold and miserable sometimes, not always, but typically colder, people aren't looking at houses as much, the response to this offer would be a lot different. Sure, we'd sit around for a month or two waiting for you to sell your house in another province. But when you get an offer in May or June subject to selling another house, you are missing out on the hottest part of the real estate season, and temperature-wise, literally, wouldn't you say?
I do agree. So from a consumer standpoint, if you're just looking at realtor.ca, that property will still present as being active as long as all other conditions, well, it doesn't matter whether all other conditions have been removed, but your agent will say, well, that property is conditionally sold, because on the backside, we're able to see that. Or if you have a custom collaboration site, you would be able to see that. Make sure you ask just so that you don't miss out on this particular property, or that your agent doesn't dismiss because you've just reduced their list from 6 properties to show you and now down to 5 because they're easily, oh, it's conditional sale. We're not going to look at that one. If there is just a subject to the sale of buyer's property condition, ask a little bit more questions because it still could be a potential home for you going forward. I agree along with you, Michael, with regards to, yes, it ties it up. Yes, some agents won't do their due diligence, unfortunately, and will just dismiss it as it's already sold. But really, it's not. Just, you know, 48 hours, sometimes those clauses can last 4 to 6, sometimes 2 months. And really, to assume that someone's going to be able to wrap up a contract within 48 hours, hence the term 48-hour clause, the buyer number one, has 48 hours to remove that condition so that the seller can either move full, so the seller can consider their property sold, or if they can't remove that condition, forfeit the property and allow the seller to move forward with offer number two. So there's a 48-hour sweet spot. This may be a property that you should consider and not dismiss just because it says conditionally sold. But yes, during prime selling season, I have mixed feelings. People always want what someone else desires, Michael, as you know. And to know that someone else has removed all their conditions, obviously it's good on financing. There's no issues with insurance. The home inspection must have passed and they didn't find any huge red flags with it. So all they're doing now is waiting to sell their property, which again, because we have longer days on market, you're seeing more and more subject to sale of buyer's properties appearing. You still may miss out on an opportunity to secure a really great property.
Well, the point to this particular segment is just keep in mind the seasonality and the activity in the market before you start tying your property up for potentially months in prime time. You may want to respond to an offer differently in June or July or August than you would November, December, January.
Yeah, and something else to keep in mind, which we were discussing this week too, is look at the property that, again, if you are considering writing an offer with subject to sale of buyer's property, or if you're the seller considering, you know, should I accept this sale of buyer's property clause within this contract agreement? Do your due diligence. The address is disclosed within the contract. So whether you do Google Street View, you check out the property. Is it already on the market? Are they talking about putting it on the market sometime in the next week or two? Well, that's just now giving you an extra week or two that you're sitting around waiting, and there's a good chance they may end up asking for an extension on the sale of their property. So you want to be mindful and well-informed with regards to some of these other, you know, items that they need to consider when they're looking. Yes, the season, but also whereabouts are these buyers in the process of selling their property and do they have strong interest?
So if you're looking for property, make sure your agent is looking for those that are a conditional sale. Because the other thing that we haven't mentioned is the people selling the house are going to be a lot less inclined to continue to renew that contract with buyer one if they know there's a buyer two there, particularly if they've written a non-conditional offer. And just because something is conditional sale, it doesn't mean that the home inspection or any inspections or financing is done. It's nice if it is, and hopefully it is, but it doesn't necessarily say it has to be.
Correct.
Moving along, vertical video and why it sucks. What are your thoughts?
Well, vertical video is more so for Instagram and that. And I find, and I'll let you, because this is something that I know you wanted to talk about, but I find if you're just looking at, like, again, looking at the horizon right now in front of us, we're looking at the Charlottetown Yacht Club. My vision is looking, you know, at the whole horizon. It's not just looking at a little clip. So I find vertical videos, all I'm seeing is a little snippet of whatever the person doing the recording wants me to see. But what else is in that frame? So I just don't find it makes sense from a sales perspective with real estate.
This just comes up because I had a video editor want to do some work for me for free, so I sent him a bunch of clips, and I just said, okay, here, toss this together in a video. Gave him my YouTube channel, which I assume he was going to check out, which obviously he never did, and he sends me back this splashy vertical video. So at that point, I thought, well, first of all, he's not really following instructions, because I'm pretty sure I mentioned the type of videos we're doing are on the YouTube channel. And secondly, it was vertical video, which led me to do some more research on vertical video in reference to something I've always believed in marketing. And what I believe the cornerstone or the foundation to marketing is the right message to the right person at the right time. So when you're shooting vertical video, you're typically going to go on, like Patty said, Instagram, but you're also going to be on TikTok and other platforms, maybe Twitter X. And you have to ask yourself, is this the right person? Is this the right demographic? Because all these social media platforms have their own demographics. What I want to know is, where are the people with the money most likely to buy the property located in this location at this price? And I can guarantee you, it's not going to be on TikTok and it's not going to be on Instagram.
No, and I feel, and you can tell me your thoughts, I feel if it's a seller and they have an agent out there doing a vertical video, what are they promoting? Are they promoting your property or are they promoting themselves? There's nothing wrong with self-promotion, but if they want to do a little side clip of maybe, of themselves in your home, but your overall expectation, and this isn't because we're getting old or anything, Michael, but it should be a horizontal professional video. Again, you can still be in it.
Horizontal video.
Horizontal.
Landscape mode.
Correct. You could still be in these videos, obviously off to the side. You don't want the whole screen filled with your...
Way off to the side, out of the frame. We're here to see the house, not you in your new blue suit.
Yeah, so...
Why do they always wear blue suits?
I think that's in style right now.
You walk into a tailor and, you're in real estate? Oh, here's your blue blazer.
It's a style.
But you want horizontal video, and this is not coming just from me. But this is coming from study after study after study as to what works. And horizontal traditional video works, which brings us into our next subject is, and I actually I'm in the process of selling a waterfront home right now, which is a result of one of these videos. People are looking for a video, horizontal, preferably on YouTube, that shows the property in a candid sense. And what I mean by that is I mean the agent or whomever is walking through the house out of frame, just showing different things about the house right down to the water tank, the well pump, the breaker panel, the generator hookup, stuff that I as a purchaser would want to know in relativity or sort of to an opposite of what a lot of the agents are doing, which is they're just picking up a phone and Joe Blow with a camera shows up, shoots the place, and they're zooming in and out, and they're using a slider, and they're sliding in and out of the rooms. But you're not really getting any information as to the mechanical workings of that property, which is primarily at this point what you're looking at. You're just getting, like a shot of the faucet in the bathroom because it's pretty and it has diamonds on the top. And you're getting a shot of the quarter of the stove because it's nice and it's Miele or Bosch or whatever. The candid videos are coming back, and that's why this gentleman put an offer in on this waterfront home, never seen it, is because of the candid video and the walkthrough.
Yeah, and the walkthrough video, and I agree, and I used to do this many years ago. And then it became
work
comfortable to just be able to have somebody else pick up the phone, as you said, and to go out and shoot the video, because there is a lot of work in producing these self-made videos, the editing time. Easier just to, pay the money to get someone else, and then go on to the next property or your next task that you need to get completed in the day. I do know that from my previous days and when I used to do all these candid videos, and that's great, Michael, that you're getting some positive feedback and actually sold a client's property from it. What I loved about doing them is I didn't have to rely on someone else's interpretation of showing the property either. It was myself speaking on behalf of the seller, the highlights, the things that were important to the seller to make sure that they were pointed out. I got to do that in my video so that the buyers were well informed and they knew what to look for, regardless of which agent they called for their representation. That's nothing to do with this. It's just to make sure that those little items, whether there was a carburetor or things like that, aren't missed. And you can do that in a candid video.
If you're looking to sell your house, hire an experienced agent that has preferably probably shown thousands of houses over the decades, or at least 5 years at the minimum, hundreds of houses, hopefully, and get them to make a video going through the house. And the other key thing is you want to do it under 4 minutes. I'd love to see under three, but it's really hard to cover a house under three. Under four is good. Closer to three is better because people have a limited attention span, especially if it's not interesting. Have your agent walk through the house, get them to keep their big fat head and their blue blazer out of the frame. Show the house in the light of a potential purchaser and what those people would like to see. Agreed?
Yeah, and candid in the sense that you're just like, we're having a conversation here. Don't sit and go on about, you know, the quartz countertops and you see yourself enjoying entertaining in this kitchen. That's not what they're looking for.
3 to 4 minutes, under three preferably.
Say the features.
And I also say under three is if your agent is doing their job, they should also be marketing this on a bunch of different platforms, including Google. And if you upload a video on Google or use a YouTube link over 3 minutes, it will tell you right there and then that your spots is going to be limited. So keep it short, to the point, key features. Moving along with the podcast, we are going to talk about commercial properties and how your agent shouldn't be pricing them.
I agree with you because we're not trained for that.
I just find it super interesting how you can have clients that own hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in commercial properties, and then they'll just willy-nilly call up some real estate agent that does 99.999% of their business in residential and ask them what their very complex commercial property is worth. So this is one of these properties that I referred to earlier in the podcast episode with Patty, is there is a commercial property that came up. And I said to Patty, I'm writing a conditional or a non-conditional cash offer, and I'm buying this in the next 2 hours if you're not interested in it. So basically, we toss this back and forth. The moral of the story, I won't get more into that particular property, but it was a vendor that basically hired a residential agent, priced their property. It was probably 100, 200 grand under market, because there is nothing comparable to it. And I knew the value was there. So it would have been just as easy to buy the property, put it back in the market next week and make some money off it. A commercial appraisal is well worth every nickel, whether it's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. We're talking properties worth hundreds of thousands, sometimes into the more than a million here on the island. Spend the money to get an expert opinion. These guys know what they're doing, and women. And do that. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
Because there's other ways, sorry to interrupt you there, yeah, but there's also multiple other ways to appraise a property other than just as a hard asset, including income and comparables and net multiples. And there's all kinds of things the appraiser can do to establish a value. Whereas a residential agent is going to be looking at it like it's a house, trying to compare it to other properties. And inevitably, there's not going to be any exact properties to compare it to. So how do they know what value to put on a parking lot? Or maybe there's a living quarters, or maybe there's an extra acre. So there's room for additional expansion. What price are they going to put on the location, right?
Yeah. So would you be able to share what is in order to be considered a commercial appraiser, which there's only less than a handful here on the island certified or qualified, just so that they understand why you're average realtor should not be doing them? What is the credentials, the requirement?
Usually you're looking for an AACI appraisal, which stands for appraised according to customer's instructions.
No,
it doesn't. You can look up AACI. But AACI is who you're looking for. And the other advantage of having an AACI appraisal is you can use that to shop for financing. So let's say you have this property and you don't want to sell it. Well, you could actually use that appraisal, take it to the bank and leverage that property for borrowing on other properties. But we're not going to get into that. But typically, you're looking for an AACI certified appraiser. And I don't know if there'd be a handful. There might be more or less than that on the island. Doesn't matter.
Last I looked, there were three of them that I was aware of.
But one of them's daughter just got into it, too.
Okay, so maybe we're up to four. It is a real niche kind of market, like area or expertise. And AACI stands for Accredited Appraiser Canadian Institute. So I do know they have a minimum.
Accredited Appraisal Institute of Canada. Canada Institute.
The AACI, Accredited Appraiser Canadian Institute, is a designation for professional credential granted by the Appraisal Institute of Canada, AIC.
And that's what the banks are looking for.
Correct.
I'll let you cover this next subject here.
So with regards to setting up showings,
This is not rocket science. You forgot to mention that. It's in the title.
Well, I allowed you to complete the sentence. If you are a buyer looking to set up a showing, what goes on behind the scenes is your agent is going to be reaching out. And I mean, there is a lot of time that involved in arranging your day, setting up driving times, making sure if it's going to be a full day, that there are gaps in between, maybe for rest stops, depending on the season, the time of year. Are these places winterized? I just showed a property the other day and it was winterized. They've not unwinterized it. So it's something to just keep in mind. But your agent sets up these showings and as per the instructions on our MLS system, not something the public sees. Well, some agents, not all, but some agents use a software program called Showing Time. Now, Showing Time allows, again, while we're sitting here, Michael, right now, having our conversation here with our listeners, there could be showing requests coming in on our phone. Well, the showings aren't going to be put through to our sellers until we're finished, and then we can start, you know, booking our showings. Whereas Showing Time allows in real time, as soon as that agent, you know, reaches out, and it's a little icon on our backside of our MLS system, they just have to even click on it. They can make the phone call to a 1-800 number and go ahead and get the showing booked immediately so that the sellers can start making arrangements and plans and organize with as much time as possible. So I do love the Showing Time service that we use here on Prince Edward Island. Other areas might have another software program that they use, but the showing instructions are right within our MLS system. Getting into, I'm just trying to see where you have that.
If you're a buyer, make sure you're aware of the showing instructions. They are shared on the realtor view of the cut sheet, because if you're arranging to see properties, it's imperative that you understand when you can see them. And from a seller's point of view, which is what Patty and I deal with most of the time, you can also specify exactly when those showings happen. So if you don't want showings in the evening, you don't have to have them. The bottom line here in the title was, as an agent, pay attention to the showing instructions. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. And a lot of times if a property has a tenant, they need minimum 24, and I usually say 48 hours notice. So if you're here on vacation wanting to book a showing, you always get those calls, and I know you probably get them too, Michael, where an agent reaches out to you and says, my clients are flying out this afternoon. They want to get into your property. Are your clients interested in selling? So you almost feel like a little bit of this bullying.
What a pitch.
Yeah. And
yeah, first thing I would do is say, how long have they been here? Well, they've been here for 2 weeks. Oh, it sounds like they're real motivated to see this property. They waited until the afternoon before their plane leaves to arrange a showing. Yeah, let's get them right in.
Yeah. And just for the inconvenience of a property owner, they could have, you know, an event going on, a birthday party. They may have been away and never left the property while they went away for the day in showing condition. There are instructions.
It could be a pickleball.
Okay. There could be instructions set up where they have 24 hours notice is typically a respectful amount of time to arrange showing. So if you're a buyer, try your best to make sure that your buyer's agent, you notify them as early on as possible. Don't wait till the last minute. And if you're a buyer's agent or an agent showing properties and looking after a client, don't wait until you're done your day job to start booking your showings at, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. It's so easy on our MLS system to set up your showings or even send off a text and say, I got clients looking to get into this property tomorrow. You know, can I get this set up? Do it on your break, on your lunch, if you are an agent with another job and stuff. But don't follow the instructions and don't wait till the evening hours for somebody else to do your damage control and fix your day.
Well done, Patty. It's time for a commercial break and our new sponsor.
And who's that?
Me. So in the beginning, we mentioned our Facebook group, but I also said we're going to mention the other two Facebook groups that we have going. So make sure, number one, you do check out the new Facebook group if you are a potential person moving to Prince Edward Island. It's just called Moving to Prince Edward Island. Make sure it's the group that's administered by Patty and I. And we also have our fact checker in there, Tricia Campbell. So Tricia, if you're listening, welcome aboard to our Facebook group, which I force you to watch or participate in.
Yes, but she does have the fact checker title.
So she can fact check the Facebook group as well. So if you have any questions about PEI or you want to interact with other people that have moved to the province from other places, it's a great place to be. The other Facebook groups we have, we've always had one that's just called Prince Edward Island Real Estate. And we have a Prince Edward Island drone Facebook group, which you're a member of, and you don't seem to ever say hello. But if you're looking to hire drone photographers, or if you had interest in drones in Prince Edward Island, check that little niche group out as well.
Something I think you could put into your drone.
Our commercial's already over.
Well, I never got to contribute to it, is perhaps if you do, and I'm just making a recommendation and suggestion here, but if you have some amazing drone images, perhaps that is something, aside from it being just, you know, you being a little geeky, sorry, Michael, but, you know, talking about the mechanics and the drone itself, maybe you could showcase some really cool drone images of PEI or other areas. I think that would make me be a little bit more engaged in it.
There's nothing geeky about the Facebook group. In fact, Patty, I'll just tell you right now, I know you're going to be excited about this. Today, I posted a video comparing the DJI Mavic 3 to the DJI Mavic 4 Pro. So you might want to check that out. If anything, for the scenery, this guy's based in Ireland, so it's just incredible. Not as nice as PEI, of course, but very nice. Next.
Okay. Man eating lizards, signage for agents, and instructions to abide by on showings. Can you elaborate on all of this?
So a lot of times, home sellers will tell us, well, don't let the cats out of the garage. My dog's chained in the basement. Don't let the children run out on the street. This agent that's showing their house, chances are they could be showing. Usually you don't want to show more than 5 or 6 houses in a day. Otherwise, it causes a lot of confusion psychologically for buyers. You had your hand out?
Yeah, and I agree. So from an agent standpoint, 5 or 6 should be your max, because this is something that we like to do too, is educate other realtors that listen and tune in. But the other thing is, as a buyer, yes, you're absolutely right. It can become overwhelming. If you have too many properties or you don't have an agent that understands what's involved, and there are things involved when you do have a busy day. But
why don't we get back to that in a minute? Because that's actually a really good topic. But essentially, this is just a note to say, if you're selling your house and you've got instructions to agent showing the house, like don't let your man-eating lizard out of the back bedroom, put notes in the house. If you want them to take their shoes off going into the house, particularly if it's a wet, muddy day, put those notes on the door. put notes for the agents. Do not give the listing agent instructions to give to the purchaser's agent and expect them to remember this while they're conversing with their clients and looking at typically between 4 and 6 houses that day. Stepping back to that subject, I remember years ago, I had a real estate agent from another province come to PEI, and she said, I want to look at, I don't know what it was, 25 different houses. This is when I was a newbie and I'd do anything. So she had houses from 60 grand up to 450 grand, and she intermixed them on the same day. And I thought to myself, and I was only in real estate for 2 or 3 years at the point, I said, this is just a recipe for a nervous breakdown. So what do you think happens? You look at a $60,000 house and you look at one for 450. Duh. Obviously, the 450 is going to be nicer. Well, at the end of 2 days, she broke down in tears and she pretty well had a nervous breakdown because she put herself in this position by the way things were lined up. If you're going to be looking at different price ranges, what I would suggest you do, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong or give us your methodology, is show one for 60 and then 70 and then 80. Don't go from 60 to 450. And maybe show them from the least expensive to the most. And that way, it's a little easier to compare them. And the other thing I've always done, and I know Patty kind of does this, is there's only one house that's on the table at any given point. So number one is compared to number two. Everything's kept in mind, and you have to eliminate one. This is the game I play. At the end of the day, there's one house. You take house number one, you go to day two, you compare house number one with day two's houses, and you have one house at the end of day two. I think you usually have a handful.
I don't think so, Michael. And I believe I taught you this whole methodology.
Not. This was way before you were around.
No, it is the preferred way, and I don't do this sometimes. We do this, period. It just makes sense. And I do agree, the only reason why you would not be able to say clump day one all your, say, under 100 or under 200,000 is maybe perhaps based on location. So you're not zigzagging back and forth across the island. However, I can understand, and I've also had situations where I've had clients break down, and they always break down in the basement. They just seem to have, that's where their meltdown occurs. I've had a few in my early years. I think the last one broke down probably about 6 years or so ago, where just overwhelmed with everything. You try to educate buyers. I know you think this is easy and that you've got this. And I'm talking very highly educated individuals who it's a lot of work and they realize at the end of the day, no pun intended, how much work is actually involved in being a realtor and how, you know, we keep it all straight, but that's because we're not emotionally invested, whereas you're emotionally invested in every property that you look at, which is exhausting. So 5 to 6 properties, and I do agree, just to kind of segue back to our intro here with the lizards and that, we don't want to lose your fur babies. So it's very important that you put in a sign anywhere you possibly can.
Reptiles don't have fur.
But just with regards to, it's not just only lizards and snakes and all that kind of stuff.
Tarantulas.
Yes, I don't. It's also about leaving cats inside of homes, making sure that they don't. Now, some cats are skittish and they just run away from the door, but others will run to the door. So you want to make sure that your pets are somewhat contained, especially if you have a runner, or you don't leave your dogs roaming. I was just showing a property a few months back where we walk into the house, there's one dog sleeping on the couch, and it was a smaller dog, a little pug dog, and I thought, okay, well, they must feel very confident that the dog is okay. So I quietly continued to whisper talk with my agent only to get to the primary bedroom. And there was a large dog laying on their bed sleeping, to which now the anxiety and the stress, I and my client went to start speaking at normal volume. I had to get her out of the home and said, we can't talk in here because we're invading someone's space. Very dangerous. We could have woken that dog up and it could have been in an altered dream state. It's just not safe. Not safe for the pets, not safe for the people that are walking into these homes. So you be mindful of that and agree. Put signs up. Keep everybody safe involved in the whole process.
And getting back to the showings, the reason I have this pick one house deal is because if you were to show 6 houses in one day, you're going to get, I like house number one because of the countertops. I like house number two because of the jacuzzi tub. House number three had a great yard. Now, house number four, or was it house number one that had the garage with the pool table in it? I can't remember. Was it the double car garage or the single garage that had the house with the pool? Like, you get all messed up, right?
Yeah.
So it's easier to just say, do you like number one or two? Good. One's gone, two's gone, move on.
Yeah. And the other is, I like that particular house, but on this particular property.
Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful input. And you mentioned something about, well, what if they have 5 houses and they're all over the island? I would say to you, put your showings on hold, have them tour the island, and then pick a location.
Smart, and I agree.
Because it's pointless saying, well, I really love the house in North Cape, but I wish it was located in Surrey. Like, if I'm looking at houses in Ontario, I'm not looking at houses in Grimsby and hoping they're in Mississauga. I'm sticking to Mississauga.
Yep, very good point.
Next, we'll save that for another episode.
Okay.
Because it's a long topic, but we'll give you a bit of a teaser. We're going to discuss in a future episode high-end waterfront properties and the inevitable list of ideas that come from the vendors in order to market these houses because they're never going to sell.
Okay, yep.
So that will be coming up. A new agent line. This is what I love to hear from agents. And you hear it even from agents that are experienced because they're playing a game here. They phone you up and say, hey, Patty, I got someone interested in 123 Main Street. Is the price flexible? I've come up with a new answer for this. I think you're really going to like. What's your answer? Is the price flexible, Patty? And the agent talks in this really high-pitched voice.
I always say the seller has listed the property at X amount of dollars. If your clients would like to entertain an offer, I'll bring it to your client, but I do not negotiate on my client's behalf without their consent and permission.
Here's my answer to that.
Okay.
And I just whipped this up last week. Had an agent ask me, is the price flexible? Of course, they had high pitch. Is the price flexible? And I said to them, absolutely, the price is flexible. I said the vendors would absolutely consider a non-conditional offer that's way over the asking price.
Okay. Yes. Why would we always assume flexibility means down? Why can't flexibility be up? Good
right.
point, Michael.
So I can pretty well say all of my vendors will accept an unconditional offer that's way over asking price. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode, still in YouTube mode, almost 100 episodes later, which brings us to our last point. We're coming up to our 100th episode, which may or may not be anything.
Yeah.
But if anyone has any ideas as to anything we can do that would be special to signify our century, is it a century centurion episode?
Yeah, it would be.
I knew I should have stayed in Latin class. 100th episode, if there's any ideas, message us and Patty will let you wrap it up. But before we do, join our Facebook group, Moving to Prince Edward Island. Make sure it's our group and not somebody else's. And
well, what I was going to say is if you're in listening to this particular episode and now are aware that the Facebook group exists, you can always put in maybe some suggestions or some stories that we'd be more than happy to be able to share.
Not necessarily. It could be really bad ideas.
But that's not. People don't have bad ideas. They're just maybe. Some are a little more colorful than others. And if it's important to them, it's important to us, Michael, is what I'm going to say. So by joining our Facebook, the Michael and Patty Show group.
It's not the Michael and Patty Show. It's Moving to Prince Edward Island.
I know, but the.
We're the hosts.
We're the hosts. Okay. But it is about buying and selling. So, and again, just another suggestion or recommendation, you can always post your stories or maybe your suggestion or recommendation for our 100th episode. So thanks again for listening to another episode of the Michael and Patty Show, otherwise known as MAPS, PEI's podcast about buying and selling and everything Prince Edward Island. We appreciate each and every one of you for downloading the episodes, and many are all caught up actually, right, and waiting for the next release. So really, really happy that you find value in listening in and the information that we share.
Thanks for listening. Coming to you from the Charlottetown waterfront, looking out on the newly renovated yacht club. Be sure to follow the show, give us a 5-star rating, and any feedback. Bye for now.
Bye for now.